this Sunday school lesson, and all of them, my goal is just put out basics. Simple, common sense stuff that I had never heard before, and maybe you're a young Christian, maybe you're not, maybe you need to get rooted, because a lot of times you're in a message or you're in a Sunday school. Love Brother Vernon, but he throws out a lot of stuff that if you're a new Christian or a young Christian, you're not going to have a clue, and you're going to get lost. And so this class, the burden on my mind was, especially like Sharon and I working with college and career, is you need kind of a go-between, you know, where if you want the deeper things and the verse by verse, you can certainly get it. But this is more, let's just talk about the basics of this King James Bible and our faith. And that's kind of what this is about. So about 5-6 weeks ago, before we had our month-long revival-style meetings and didn't have Sunday school, we had started on a list for the couple of weeks before that on the 150 questions of our faith. Just general questions that you may hear on the street talking to somebody, a coworker, and it's very good to have these scriptures in your head. And what I've realized is when I, like Justin called me when he was working as a plumber, and he said, "Dad, we're talking about the Bible, and we got some questions." So, hey, sometimes you got to be ready to go. What I found is, all of a sudden, the Lord, when you start talking about Him, He brings those scriptures back to you, okay? Stuff you never even knew you knew. You really didn't. Just try God out on this. Start talking to somebody who's either not saved or asking questions. Try the Lord out and see if He don't start bringing those verses back to your mind. And that's why you need this. Whether you think you do or not, let's get these verses going in our brain, okay? From the basics of your faith. Because people are going to ask you very simple things that sound simple, but answers aren't simple. Why are we here? Who is this God? Who's Jesus? What's this Christianity about? Because there's so many things competing for the truth. It's all about what's true, and we're in a spiritual darkness right now in this country, and it is a battle. The principalities of the air fight us harder. In my opinion, I didn't live in the old times, but in my opinion, we are way past where we were, at least in my lifetime, okay? In my lifetime. Now, I haven't lived in when people were getting persecuted and killed and burned at the stake. So I'm sure that was a very similar, if not worse, than today. But I can tell what we're in today. We're in a very dark place. I'm going to scoot over a little bit because I don't have that side of the room. That side's missing today. Brother Terrence moved, so we'll get going. So what I want to do is pick back up where we left off on that list. Last week I just had a burden about praise, so we got off track on this and just did a lesson on praise, which to me is critical to our faith, okay? So, let's pick up where we left off. Next question was, what does every sin deserve? What does it deserve? The wrath and curse of God. Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So what does God think about sin? Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law that do them. God put a curse on sin. Galatians 3:10. Psalms 89:30-32. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. What does every sin deserve? It deserves the wrath and curse of God. That's what it deserves. So who can save us from that wrath and that curse? Who? Jesus Christ. The only Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save us from this curse and this wrath. John 14:6. If you memorize any verse in the Bible, it should be this one, for sure. It's got to be in the top five anyway. What does it say? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You must memorize that verse. Even if you don't know the reference, at least know the scripture. God honors it when you say it out of your mouth. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to get out of this curse of God. It's through Jesus Christ. So when you're talking with somebody, who can save you? Who can help you with this sin situation? Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But in studying this, I thought about this for a second. I said, and Brother Terrence, this, I don't know if it'll help you or not, but I got to thinking about something. That verse, I've never heard it preached on other than Jesus is the only way. But think about this. What did Jesus say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Three things. The way, God the Father. God created a way. The truth, Jesus Christ. He never told a lie. He's nothing but true. He's the only 100% true person that ever walked on the face of this earth. And the life. Our daily living is guided by the Holy Spirit. It's just popped off at me. Never noticed that before. The way, the truth, and the life, the Trinity. Jesus Christ is all three, but he's also separate. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You can't skirt around Jesus and go straight to God. You can't go straight to the Holy Spirit like some denominations teach. You got to have all three there, and the only way is Jesus Christ. So when you remove him from the picture, it's easy to debunk any faith that teaches anything other than Jesus Christ being the way to heaven and to get out of the curse of sin. Now, obviously, you got to believe the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, you got to start there. This Bible, you're talking to a Muslim. When they remove Jesus Christ from that equation, you can't get there. You can't go straight to God, right? No way. You can't only believe the Holy Spirit and not believe Jesus. Well, I have this spirit. Well, you got a false spirit because you're not going through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. He is our Savior. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the only way. Any name under heaven, and I think what he's talking about is the heaven he lives in this verse. Because you can take all these principalities of the air, all these Satan worshipers, anything they want to worship, there is no other name they can come up with whereby they can be saved other than Jesus Christ. So who saves us? How do we get out of this curse? Jesus Christ. Okay? And those are verses you can use. What does God require of us so we can go to heaven? What does God want us to do to be able to go to heaven? What does he require? A what? What has to happen? Somebody's asking, well, what has to happen for us to be saved? You cannot enter heaven unless you have a heart change. There has to be a change. John 14:6, we just read, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. There has to be a change with Jesus Christ. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yeah. Well, what's it talking about? Born again. There has to be a change. There has to be a heart change. If you've never had an internal heart, soul transformation, and we're going to talk about some of the pieces of that in a minute, but if that's never happened, you're not saved. You have to have a heart change. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You have to believe. You have to believe on Jesus Christ. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So what has to happen to get saved? There has to be a heart change. How does the heart change come? Believing on Jesus Christ, not in him. The Bible says even Satan believes in Jesus Christ. Lots of people believe in Jesus, but they don't believe on him. They haven't turned it over to him. I'm believing on Jesus Christ. Not just that he existed, he came, not that he was a prophet. A lot of faiths, a lot of religions believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't believe he's the way. And they're never going to give their sin over to him. So they're not saved. And there's where you can't compromise. You can't compromise on that. The Bible's very clear. Jesus is the only way. So to go to heaven, we have to have a heart change. So what's this change called? And here's where I heard a bunch of words from Brother Vernon that just threw me for a loop when I first started coming to church. What's it called? Somebody throw something out. All right, I'll do it. Regeneration. Thank you, Brother Terrence. Brother Terrence could teach this way better than me. But I'm here, so you got to listen to me, I suppose. Regeneration. What's the best verse or two good verses? Titus 3:5-6. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Very good verse. That regeneration, it is a new birth. You become completely new. That's the beauty of salvation. You are a new person. The old man is dead. Ezekiel 36:26-27. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Just referencing a new heart, a new heart. So who can change this heart of a sinner? Who does that work? Who does that? Who changes your heart around when you get saved? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I could see Miss Lisa mouthing it. She just didn't want to say nothing. Titus 3:5-6. Not by works of righteousness as we have done, we just read, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So how does this happen? How does all this happen? So if you read a verse before and a verse after in that same passage, Titus 3, and go verse 4 to verse 7, it explains it. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that, being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So this Holy Spirit came and changed us, and that put us into this family. Now we're heirs of that eternal life, that hope. That's what happened. So when people say, well, how do you get saved, Brother Charles? Says, well, I can't explain it. Well, we do have some parts that happen here we can talk about. Okay? This happened. This is what happened to you when you got saved. Okay? There was a regeneration. You got a new heart. Okay? This is great. This is one of the things that Brother Vernon did an excellent job of teaching me that I never heard of in my life. Colossians 2:10-14. I didn't type that one down for some reason. Let's just read it. Colossians 2:10-14. This is excellent stuff right here. Colossians 2, 10 through 14. Come on, man. There we go. All right. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of who? Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the what? Operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. When you go to the doctor and you get operated on, that is a surgery. You just had an operation. God uses this analogy of a circumcision. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. This is what happens when you get saved. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. What a great passage of scripture. Nobody understands this or preach. I don't hear a lot about this. I never got preached this or taught this. What in the world happened? The Holy Spirit came and turned you into a new heart, a new spirit, brand spanking new. And he sealed that thing off inside of you. So how can a Christian sin? Our flesh didn't get saved. It's pretty simple when you think about it this way. He did that operation on us. And that new person came inside of us. Now, if you sin, you will be at war with yourself. That internal is going to war with that flesh. And that's going to happen until we die, unfortunately. That's why I can't wait till God comes and transforms my body. Because I still fight that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I will till I die. But God says right here that the Holy Spirit came, performed an operation on you. He used the word operation. The circumcision made without hands. No human could have done this. It was a miraculous change. A miracle took place the day you got saved. No man did anything for you. They might have guided you to Jesus Christ, but he did that miracle. Yes. He did it. That's why you can't lose it. It's very simple. You cannot lose something you didn't have anything to do with. If he chose to take it away, he could, but he said, I won't do that. He said, I'm not going to do that. That's what he said. He said, I've done it. It's done. So all these religions that want to put it on man, you can't change it. It was done miraculously. Miraculously by God. The Holy Spirit came and made that new regenerated heart. You got that new spirit right then. That's what happened when you got saved. So that regeneration, that's what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit can change that heart. That heart gets changed. So, God did this for us when we got saved. And so one of the reasons he did it is grace. What is grace? We've talked about our sin, what our sin deserves. We've talked about what we have to do to go to heaven and what God then does for us so that we can be saved. So why would he do all this? Grace. Grace. Grace is God's kindness to us when we deserve that wrath. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, probably the most common and best set of scriptures. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Which is really all we're about is boasting. Probably, look back on your day, probably 80% of it was boasting in some way. Now, you may not think that, but you break down all your actions in your life, whole lot of boasting going on, what there is in my life. And the weird thing is, we see ourselves differently than everybody else does. You ever notice that? We're always, I guarantee you, you think of yourself higher than most people do. I do. I know I do. Other people see my flaws. Man, I sweep those under the rug all the time, thinking I'm better than this or that or whatever. And that's frustrating to me. But that's how we are. It's frustrating. But God, He sees all that and still had grace on us. He sees our boasting, but guess what? We can't even do it. He has to do it. There's no work you can do. If we could do it, there's really no reason for Christ to even come. What purpose did we have of Christ dying on the cross if we could get to heaven through our own works? Should He have even came and died? I mean, why didn't God just give us a way to do it on our own? He didn't do it that way. Jesus Christ gave us grace. Romans 3, 22 through 24. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption, what we just talked about, that is in Christ Jesus. So we get this grace. God bestows this grace upon us because we've all sinned. We all have come short of the glory of God. But if we believe, it's what it says, upon all them that believe, we're justified freely by that grace. Romans 5, 19 through 21. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, the second Adam, who? Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. And I'm throwing these things in because it's back to, I was never taught these things. And it really helps to understand your Bible when you realize what He's talking about here. And it makes perfect sense when the pieces of the puzzle start to fit together. Oh, that's a great example. You do a 1,000-word puzzle. Let's say you didn't have the picture to go by. Imagine, I'm doing a 1,000-word puzzle, but I don't have the box to look at. But I still got to do the puzzle. That's our Christian life. God's got a puzzle for us, and He sees the box. He sees what the picture's going to look like. But He lets us put the pieces of the puzzle together. And when you start studying that Bible, all a lot of people see are pieces. But if we start putting the pieces in there, all of a sudden pictures start showing up. We start seeing what God wants us to see. That puzzle starts to come together. That's a pretty neat idea there. Maybe putting a car together. Brother Charlie puts 60,000 pieces of a car sitting there. I can't see what that car is going to look like, but he can. You got to start putting it together. All of a sudden, oh yeah, you're remodeling a house, something that I know how to do. I'm able to walk into a house and see what it's going to look like when I'm done with it, not what it looks like now. But you got to get through it. And then other people, as they see things come together, start to get the picture. It's a pretty good example, I think. It's grace, grace. The second Adam we talked about, by obedience of one shall many be made righteous, meaning many are going to get saved through Jesus Christ. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So what's he talking about? Law came in, and instantaneously, when the law was there, people started breaking them. Right? It was there, but we're still breaking them. We're breaking those same laws today. People say, well, I'm not a sinner. You just broke one of the laws by lying. The laws get broke every day. The only way around us breaking the law is God's grace. Yes. It's the only way. We can't do it ourselves. You cannot do it yourself. And anybody that says they can is foolish. And truth be told, they probably know they can't do it themselves, but they're not willing to admit it. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto when? Death. You're going to sin until you die. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto what? Eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We have eternal life because of His grace on us. His grace gives us that eternal life. So what is the work of Christ? People will sometimes say that phraseology, the work of Christ. The work of Christ is to keep perfectly the law and to suffer the punishment due for our sins. Christ came to this earth and did not sin, but He could have. People say, well, He's God. He could have never sinned. Yes, He could have. He could have sinned. Absolutely. If He couldn't have sinned, then what accomplishment did He create by not sinning? Why was He tempted? Why did Satan tempt Him? He absolutely could have. Absolutely could have. Yet He didn't. So the work of Christ was to live 33 and a half years sinless and then to suffer for us. That's the work of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings made conformable unto His death. Hebrews 9:11 through 14. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, which they did in the Old Testament, but by His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Christ shed His blood, took it one time, and said, this is good from now on. It's eternal. It says right here, eternal redemption. Outstanding. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without what? Spot to God. He didn't sin. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. What is the work of Christ? He came, He lived a perfect life, and then He suffered for us so we wouldn't have to. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He lived a sinless life because we couldn't, and He did it for us. He did it for us. Hebrews 5:8 and 9, though He were a son of God, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. That word eternal keeps coming up. That ought to excite you. That ought to excite you. Because you got to realize what we're going through now is temporary. What we have in Christ is eternal. Hallelujah. Boy, thankfully. That's the work of Christ. So if Christ did that work for us, can we then get saved by our own works? No. No, we cannot. Ephesians 2:8, 9, we talked about that. Not the end of the verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. So somebody's talking to you about, well, I do this or I do that. I got baptized, or I go to church, or I whatever. Give them some of these verses. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It is impossible to get to heaven of your own accord and your own works. It cannot happen. Titus 3, 4 through 7. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Was Jesus Christ? He was kindness and love. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And then we read this earlier, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs to the hope of eternal life. It's not us. We cannot do it. You can pump yourself up, fill yourself up, act like you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Not going to work. It's not going to work. If anybody says anything to you other than Jesus Christ, it boils down to Jesus Christ. Anything else, any other man, any other faith, any other worship, put any label, name, or anything else you want on it. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's got to be Him. It all boils down to Him. You can't get away from that. You can't do it yourself. You can't do it through your religion, through your priest, your pastor, nothing else. It's got to be through Jesus Christ. So if Christ could have sinned, did He? Some people teach that He did. All they're doing is trying to debunk Jesus Christ. They're just trying to throw water on this God that we believe in and that we trust for our salvation. No, He didn't sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Hebrews 7:26, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. He didn't sin. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He didn't sin. 1 Peter 2:21 through 23. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us as an example, that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in His mouth. Why did it say that? He did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Is it possible to have guile and not be sinning? I would think guile is a sin. Wonder why it said that. What do you think? No guile. I wonder. It says, be angry and sin not. And this is, I'm chasing a rabbit. But I wonder, the guile in your mouth, that bitterness. I wonder if we can have that without sinning, but it's still kind of God in our. See what I'm saying? When you try to what? It could be. It could be. I'm just curious. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to look up guile, see if I can figure that out. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So he didn't return sin for sin, pain for pain. He could have, but he didn't. So Christ did not sin. We'll stop there. Amen.